The next matter, number 24-1188, Asociación de Detallistas
de...
Thank you, Judge. De Gasolina de Puerto Rico Incorporated et al. Versus the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico et al. At this time, would counsel for the appellants please introduce himself on the record to begin?
Good morning, Honorable Judges.
If you raise the microphone, that would be
Good morning, Honorable Judges. My name is Andres Gorbea. I'm the attorney for the plaintiff appellants in this case, which are approximately 20 gasoline service stations and the Association of Puerto Rico, which encompasses the gasoline retailers in Puerto Rico. In this case, Your Honor, we are asking this honorable court to well, first of all, we have 2 minutes for rebuttal. Thank you. We are asking the court to reverse the district court decision dismissing the complaint filed by the plaintiff's appellants, in which the court ruled that conflict preemption doctrine does not apply and that the plaintiff had not raised appropriately the vagueness argument under the 14th Amendment.
Counsel, let me ask you, the one who's regulating the matter here is the Commonwealth. The law refers to the credit card company, the relationship between credit cards and the customers. Here's the Commonwealth regulating. How is the Commonwealth, or I guess, or any other state envisioned in that prohibition, federal prohibition?
So could you repeat that? That's part of the question.
Yes. How can you read that the Commonwealth or any other state, the Commonwealth is normally a state, is bound by that prohibition in the federal law, which applies to credit cards?
Well, Your Honor, it is a conflict preemption argument. The Puerto Rico law is an obstacle to the accomplishment of the federal law, which encourages the use of cash. Is that the Cash Discount Act, as well as
that applies to credit cards, and it was enacted so credit cards would not have these, what Congress deemed as predatory practices.
Correct. Yeah.
The Commonwealth is not a credit card company. It's not engaged in predatory practices.
Yeah, Your Honor, but the purpose of the federal law is to allow merchants to give customers discounts if the customers opt to pay in cash. And
where is that clearly said that the purpose is to do that even in the face of a local law, as opposed to protect them from the credit card companies precluding them from doing that?
Well, the Cash Discount Act specifically states that its purpose is to encourage the use of cash.
And yeah, but that's a different thing. Obviously, you can encourage it through many different ways, one of which is by prohibiting the credit card companies from stifling. The question is it the purpose to do it even if the stifling is not coming from the credit card companies but coming from a local law? What indicates that that's part of the purpose?
If Congress' purpose is to encourage the use of cash by prohibiting credit card companies
but the credit card companies are still prohibited from engaging in these practices.
Correct. Well, it would be an illogical course of action. It would undermine the purpose by allowing the state to do what companies aren't allowed to do.
Why? They're different. Excuse me. There's different actors in the world. You might be concerned by the economic power that the credit companies exert, and you want to restrain that. You might think that's different than if the local community, through democratic means, chooses to protect something. Why isn't that just, those are just different ideas of the type of protection that one needs. The statute on its face clearly says credit card companies cannot be the ones who do it. It doesn't say anything about anybody else.
Correct, Your Honor, but you would only need a credit card company or a card processing payment company to have a lawmaker enact a law so that the state prohibits what the companies aren't allowed to prohibit. So they're using the state is doing, you could say, the dirty the company's dirty work.
And if Congress is, and if Congress, and if Congress thinks that that also should be preempted, then Congress could pass a statute to preempt that.
Precisely, and I add to that point, Congress tomorrow could say, no state, nor Commonwealth, nor territory of the United States can engage in some such practice, and then preempt it also, but it hasn't.
It hasn't, but it would be good to consider that Puerto Rico is the only jurisdiction, as far as my research, that has a law that prohibits the discount by the merchants to the customers. So if the people that has traditionally prohibited this practice is not states or commonwealths, it has been credit card companies and card processing companies. So that's the reason why Congress prohibited them to do this, to prohibit the cash discount. No state has ever done that. If Puerto Rico is the only state or territory that has a law that theoretically prohibits the cash discount, because it does not prohibit it expressly as a argument the evasiveness.
In the Supreme Court, you're making an obstacle preemption argument, right? You're not saying it's impossible to comply with those directives.
Conflict, yes.
And the form of conflict preemption that you're identifying is obstacle preemption, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Given the Supreme Court's recent case law, which tells us to be careful in finding obstacle preemption because it's not text-based, what would you say is the best precedent you have applying conflict preemption that supports us concluding, despite what the text of this statute says, we should nonetheless find that there's conflict preemption?
Well, Your Honor, the law, the federal law that we're dealing with, which is the Truth in Lending Act as amended, has an anti-preemption clause. But that clause, and it's brief in the brief, works when for customer protection laws, state customer protection laws that help the customers more than the federal. So in this case, there's no way the state can say that their customer protection law prohibiting a cash discount, which is allowed by federal law, not mandated, but allowed by two federal laws, cannot.
Is there a case outside of this context applying conflict preemption principles that you would say is analogous to this situation, where the text of the law seems narrower, but nonetheless they conclude there's conflict preemption based on some purpose type argument that you're suggesting? Is there one that?
Well, I believe the cases were cited in my brief. Yep. Your Honor, I could.
No, that's fine. I'll find it. I was just wondering if one that stood out to you as analogous to this case.
No, but the main argument, Your Honor, is that if the Congress is prohibiting card companies to prohibit merchants to give cash discounts, because they are the only ones that are interested in doing so, and states have never done so, and there's no state that has a law such as that one, Puerto Rico enacts such a law that is essentially, you just need a law to be passed. This banks, credit card companies, all the time promoting their interest in the, and there's nothing wrong with that, but the purpose of the law is to encourage cash discount, to allow merchants to have a relief with these swipe fees that are eating up their profit, and also to help the poor people that doesn't have credit cards to be able to pay in cash and have that option, and not subsidize the people that do have credit cards and do pay with credit card. And this is all, that's all Congress intent. And the Puerto Rico law is an obstacle to that. And in addition, there's the vagueness argument in which it was alleged in the complaint that the Puerto Rico law does not expressly prohibit the cash discount. It just eliminated the provision that allowed it in the previous version of the law. It just eliminated that provision, but did not expressly prohibit it. It is DACO, the Department of Consumer Affairs, then issues a regulation prohibiting the cash discount.
And the question whether this was raised?
Your Honor, we believe it was raised, although it was not elaborated in the complaint. The complaint just requires a short statement of the allegation. As it was expressly stated, that the Puerto Rico law does not prohibit the cash discount. It just eliminated the clause, which makes ambiguous the language of the law. We did elaborate on the opposition to the motion to dismiss as soon as the Puerto Rico government tried to dismiss that claim. But Your Honor, if we read the allegations of the complaint, we make reference to the first federal case, which was under Judge Dominguez, which he specifically stated that there was a vagueness in this law and told plaintiffs to go to the state court to raise these arguments first as a form of abstention. And then when we go back to court, we do raise that vagueness claim in the complaint, Your Honor, although it's not as elaborated as the preemption argument. But we did understand that it was raised and that the dismissal under Rule 12b-6 is contrary to law, because some sort of leeway when the complaint has to be interpreted to the best in favor of the plaintiff, and that there's no possible relief in the complaint. And we believe, Your Honor.
Sorry, can I just interrupt, because I think I'm misunderstanding you. Where in your complaint do you make the vagueness argument? Can you point to a place in the complaint?
Yes, Your Honor.
It says docket number 24-45, citing docket number 1 in paragraph 41, is what the district court identifies in the single sentence.
All right.
That you argue alleges the unconstitutional vagueness claim.
And is that the only sentence that you allege?
Yes, Your Honor. We understand that with that single sentence in which we stated that the Puerto Rico law does not expressly prohibit the cash discount.
I understand, but it's that sentence alone that you base that argument on. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. At this time, counsel for the appellees, please introduce himself on the record to begin.
Good morning, Your Honor. Well, I'm Dino de Pérez, Solicitor General, on behalf of the government. Thank you, support. The PR Casa and Immigration Association and Adams in this case have not met their burden to defeat the presumption against reentrance that really applies in this case. And they have not met their burden to establish conflict of interest.
How specific does preemption, there can be some implied preemption instances, but how specific would preemption have to be in this instance?
Sorry, Your Honor.
For purposes of the Puerto Rico law, how specific would preemption have to be? Because again, can you imply it, or it has to be specific?
For the Puerto Rico law?
Yeah, for it to be preempted by federal law.
No, it could be implied. Like in this case, the appellants are arguing conflict preemption, also preemption. It has not to be expressed. But in this case, the general purpose statement, for example, that is in the CDA, it's not law. It's just a general purpose statement, and the Supreme Court has said clearly that a general purpose statement is not enough for conflict preemption to apply. It is also important to emphasize that if we see the text here, there's no indication that Congress had a clear and manifest purpose to preempt state consumer laws.
Is there any meaningful legal difference between the Cash Discount Act and the German amendment for preemption purposes?
Well, Your Honor, there's a difference. The Fair Credit Billing Act, that's the one that first introduced the cash discount provision. That provision is it's pointed to card issuers, and the other one is regards payment card networks. So that would be the difference But it doesn't talk about states, it doesn't talk about consumers or merchants and the relationship between consumers and merchants. So if one states that card issuers are banned for prohibiting by contract any type of discount, and the other one talks about payment card issuers.
If we thought the presumption against preemption does not apply, is the outcome the same from your point of view?
Yes, Your Honor. I think the presumption applies strongly because this is a matter the states regularly.
And when you say that, what is the matter that they regularly regulate credit card companies?
No, this is a state consumer protection law. The state, the law of the Commonwealth is a consumer protection law.
So how does it protect consumers, this law?
Well, Your Honor, the Puerto Rico Legislative Assembly said, and this was discussed by the Puerto Rico Court of Appeals in part of the appendix. The BR legislature said, the Legislative Assembly said, that there was a problem with parallel markets and transparency that the Legislative Assembly wanted to correct. And it's important to say, Your Honor, that appellants in this case are not questioning that district court ruling. The district court said this is clearly in the anti-preemption clause of the Durbin Amendment, and that's not being questioned before this court. So that argument, our position is that the argument is displayed by the appellants.
I didn't quite follow that.
So the district court ruling is one of the rulings is that the Puerto Rico law is a consumer protection law. And the district court judge said explicitly in its opinion. And appellants in this case have not questioned that part of the decision. They're not arguing in their brief that this is not a state consumer protection law, so that it will be at some point preempted by the anti-preemption clause. That argument is simply not being made in the brief.
And just so I understand, how is the consumer protection law? What is it? How is it protecting consumers?
Well, again, Your Honor, I have to go back to what the Puerto Rico policy and the Legislative Assembly said. And obviously, that's a policy issue that the local Legislative Assembly concluded. And the statement of purpose says it clearly that it's because of transparency and parallel markets, and also there is a DACO or Department of Consumer Affairs order eliminating that provision of the order that actually at the beginning of the law 150/2008 allowed for cash discounts.
And can you just help me? I'm just not understanding what's the parallel market that they're talking about, and how does this increase transparency?
Well, Your Honor, there's a statement from the Department of Consumer Affairs that is not in the appendix, but I could submit it in a 28-K letter.
But the Department of Consumer Affairs mm-hmm. cannot interpret a state law.
No, Your Honor, it can interpret state law, but
it would not be binding on a court.
No, it wouldn't be binding on this court or even Puerto Rico court.
But just what is the consumer? I mean, I'm just trying to understand what is the consumer protection rationale. So parallel markets, and then it would increase transparency.
Yeah. So that's what the statement of purpose of the amendment says. It's not a long statement of purpose. So that's what. However, there's statutory history from the local Legislative Assembly regarding this that is not in the appendix. And for example, DACO said that there was a problem of price posting and that consumers were getting confused because merchants were just posting the cash price and credit card customers were thinking they were paying that price. That's not in the appendix, but if this course allows, I can submit it in 28-J letter. And that's part of the statutory history of the amendment.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. At this time, counsel for the appellant, please reintroduce yourself on the record. You have a 2-minute rebuttal.
Thank you. My name is Andres Correa, counsel for plaintiff Avalanche. Your Honor, the district court mentioned in its rule, in a decision, that the case was being dismissed because plaintiffs did not prove that they have an absolute right to give cash discount. We've never argued that we have an absolute right. Indeed, the federal regulations provide for the rules in order to do so. And it worked the same rules that DACO had, the Consumer Affairs Department of Puerto Rico had in place when this was allowed, because this was allowed in Puerto Rico for a few years. In addition, this does not only apply to gasoline stations, this applies to all retail businesses or in all industries, barber shops, supermarkets, etc. We're not arguing about an absolute right. The right is regulated, and they have to comply with some rules and regulations regarding the postings, etc. And that has the capacity to penalize merchants that do not comply with those regulations. So that confusion and dual pricing scheme that the Puerto Rico government is talking about is really to dual pricing that the cash discount requires.
Can I just understand too? The district court at one point says, after quoting Boulding, a state law is not inconsistent with this subchapter if the protection such law affords any consumer is greater than the protection afforded by the subchapter. And then he says, district court then says, thus it is within the EFTA's anti-protection clauses aegis. I take it you're saying that's not true.
There is no, what is it?
Yeah, because it's not, protection? It's not giving more protection from this thing. If we agreed with you on that, the district court then goes on to say, the fact that law 150 is a consumer protection law also means that the presumption against preemption applies with particular force. That's, I take it, an independent argument about preemption analysis, which is that consumer laws are traditional areas of state regulation, therefore they come with a presumption against preemption. The government just said you don't make any argument against that aspect of the district court's contention. Is that true, or?
That's not true, Your Honor.
Well, what is the reason for concluding that law 150 is a consumer protection law also means that the presumption against preemption applies? Is the idea that when you read those two sentences together from the district court, the sole ground it gave for it being a consumer protection law is that it falls within the aegis of that last clause of the anti-preemption provision?
I believe the reason why the district court says that is that the law is one law that is administered by the Department of Consumer Affairs in Puerto Rico, because this law provides no greater consumer protection than the previous law, which provided for a cash discount to consumers. So there's no way a law that prohibits a discount to consumers provides greater protection to the consumers.
Well, it may not provide greater. What I'm saying is that even if it doesn't fall within the terms of that last provision of 1693, I take the government to be saying, nonetheless, it's a consumer protection law because it was protecting consumers from price trickery and et cetera. So maybe it's not protecting them in the same way that this 1693 was contemplating, but it's nonetheless a consumer protection law, and as such is entitled to the presumption against preemption. What's your answer to that?
That the law has to be analyzed to see if it is really consumer protection.
But where in your brief, do you say anywhere in your brief that that's not so, that it is not a consumer protection law insofar as it's promoting transparency in price and protecting against parallel markets?
I believe I did make the argument of the consumer protection law, saying that there's no way this law can protect the consumer by prohibiting a discount when the other law provides for a discount and for a regulatory process to post, as it is in all other 50 states, Your Honor. Puerto Rico is the only jurisdiction that prohibits discount. The other jurisdiction, they're fighting to allow the surcharge, to permit the surcharge. Those are the cases that they're dealing with in the other jurisdictions. Here we're still dealing for trying to have the discount, which everybody else already has. Thank you.
Let me just add one very quick thing. I know opposing counsel mentioned it, you mentioned it, you referred to DACO. That's the acronym in Spanish for the Department of Consumer Affairs, just so anybody listening to the record is what you're referring to.
We identify DACO in the brief as DOCA, Department of Consumer Affairs.
Okay, but you were saying DACO now, so that's why. Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you both.
Thank you, counsel. That concludes argument in this case.